This is Liz.
Hi. Hi, it's so nice to meet you. Oh my gosh, an absolute honor. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thank you.
Step down. Sorry, we're falling apart because of the rain today.
Oh, gotta love it, right?
Oh, it's the best. Like walking back and forth. I don't even live far away, and just the, like the 10-minute walk from the theater, and then sitting in a cold theater was awesome. So, anywho, I absolutely love this project, and I'm so glad you're out.
Thanks.
Because
me too.
Oh my,
yeah.
Oh my God, it was incredibly frustrating to watch as a viewer. So I can't even imagine what it was like to live through that.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
I mean, I'm so impressed how positive you guys were. I mean, it really just says something about what a beautiful family you guys are, and I just absolutely applaud that. I think it's so refreshing and not very common. I mean, I think my parents are great, you know, but like this is like next level stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can appreciate that.
No, that's one thing I always say to people is, because they're like, man, you made it through prison, like, that's amazing. And I'm like, thing you gotta understand about me making it through prison is I would not have made it without my family.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
I would have lost myself, I would have gone crazy. I mean, I would not have made it without my family. And it's my mother as well.
Right.
I mean, this guy spent, and this is, we did a conservative estimate. A conservative estimate spent 60 full 24-hour days with me in prison.
Jeez.
He would come every week. My mother would come every week.
Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, he's in there with me. And all those discussions that we had, strategizing and learning more about the case, learning more about life, you know, picking each other up, that was, I don't know how people could make it without that.
Yeah. I think that probably perhaps might have something to do with the emotional, like social emotional, of why maybe some people go to prison in the first place.
Yeah.
People who are actually guilty.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they probably didn't have a support system.
I agree completely.
You know, I think
absolutely.
That has a lot to
it's
do with.
It's frightening, but that's the reality.
It really is the reality, and
yeah.
And that's very, very sad.
Yeah.
And I just spoke with Andrew, and I sort of just put it out there to watch someone who is so very clearly not guilty, and happens to not be of African American descent, get convicted. Seems to me like such much more of a rarity.
It is.
You know, and you would know better than anybody being in and you know, talking to people.
Yeah.
You know?
No, definitely. And I think that's one of the concerns is that for a case to get a lot of attention, you have to be white, middle class,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
and decent looking, I guess. So that's frightening, you know, that a lot of those people who are being taken advantage of,
yeah.
They're losing their lives, they don't have a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And people don't care necessarily. And that's part of the reason that, you know, I feel like it's an honor, but it's I have to speak for them, you know, and I have to make people aware of what they're dealing with. Because
right.
This can happen to anyone, white, black, Asian, any age, any race,
yeah.
Any male or female, you know, so hopefully this case and our family's our struggle will help show what is going on for others as well.
Yeah, it's a broken system.
It is.
So beyond broken.
Yeah.
Have you guys thought now, it sounds like you've sort of stepped into maybe prison advocacy or maybe judiciary advocacy. I mean, you have so much experience now, sad as it is.
Well, one thing we're really interested in is dealing with it so people don't go to prison.
Right.
You know,
gotta stop
before,
it.
Yeah,
right.
Before it
exactly.
even starts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How do you even, do you think that maybe going to places and speaking to people or setting up some sort of fund, like how do you even start that process?
It starts with awareness,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
That's the most simple, cost-effective way of getting information on that. I mean, it's,
yeah.
So if we understand as a society what is going on,
mm-hmm.
and we choose not to accept it, nothing can be more powerful.
Right.
And it's free. You can disperse information for free on social media or whatever it might be,
exactly.
Through talking, interviews. And then next step, which is going to be far more difficult, and we've taken some steps to go there, and it'll be a very long process, but it's to get accountability for police and prosecutors.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because if they know that what they're doing, if they're hiding evidence, if they're falsifying evidence, they're taking people's constitutional rights and stepping on it. If they know that they're going to be held accountable for that,
right.
and they're going to go to prison, then they're not going to do it.
Right.
And then you stop the flow. So I think those are the two main things.
Yeah, there's there's some things that you can do that but it's so simple, like police reports.
Exactly.
A lot of people are totally unaware that when a police report is conducted, that the person being interviewed doesn't get a copy of it, doesn't read it, and doesn't sign it. So that means a police officer can characterize that report any way they want. And what we discovered is that it's what we call the veiled conspiracy. It's a term that we made up.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that when they write the report, they'll characterize it to support the arrest.
Right.
The media, whenever they report something, they're hearing it from the police, so they're characterizing their report to support the arrest. But the accused has no voice. And so it's like piling on.
Yeah.
Everybody, the media, the police, the prosecutor, everybody is characterizing everything for the arrest. And then the victim, the accused is just lost in this whole process. And then finally you get to hear from them when they go to trial, maybe,
right.
maybe not even then. And so that's kind of unfair.
The first round of trials, your lovely lawyer that you hired.
That's a very nice way
of trying to be polite. How did you separately, watching these mistakes, how do you, I mean, I imagine you say something, but there's only so much you can do once it's on record.
Yeah.
You just sort of sit there and think, okay, maybe again tomorrow? Like, how does that, what goes through your head when you sit there and watch this bungling?
It's like watching a train wreck.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we felt that Ryan was innocent right off the bat.
Right.
And we were just trying to get in the court. And so we had to fire our first attorney because he lied to us. And we called him a lie, a documented lie. And so we had to get rid of him.
Jeez.
And then we went to a law firm, the best law firm in Kansas City. And one of their attorneys was Charles Rogers. And he had, seemed like a good reputation.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to Ryan and said, well, we could hire this guy, but I'd like to check him out. I'd like to see him in court. And Ryan goes, no. Because he'd already spent over a year in county jail. It was the worst place you can be. And he goes, no, let's just go for it.
How bad can it be?
Well, right.
Yeah, how bad can it be?
Right.
We have a good case. I mean, any lawyer ought to be able to,
right.
to show my innocence.
Right.
And I go, I don't feel comfortable with it, but it's your choice. If you want to go ahead and employ him, we will. And he goes, yeah, I'll do it immediately. I said, okay. Now, looking back on it, we wished that we'd waited a couple
but
more
weeks.
But
it's one of many advantages that the state has over you. They have limitless power,
yeah.
limitless resources, and they're putting you in some highly oppressive environment.
Yeah.
And so I've been there for a year, and I know that if I get this guy, we'll go to trial in 6 months. If I go and I wait and I don't get him now,
right.
I'm going to be here for a whole another year, a whole another year and a half. I don't know if I can survive in this environment for that long.
Yeah. Right.
So we have to go with this guy.
Right.
And then obviously we didn't do our due diligence, we didn't have the opportunity to, and then you're in that situation. And then, so like when you're there, it's too late to change. You can't say, can we start over because this guy is not sufficient.
Right.
Yeah, it's too late. Yeah. And we did find an attorney that would have been great, but she couldn't get to us for 3 years. She was so bad.
Kathleen?
No.
Oh,
and before we even knew of Kathleen.
It was a Kathleen type attorney. It was
okay.
A Kathleen type attorney.
Got it.
And we knew she would be really good. That's why she was booked up for 3 years.
Mm.
She's the earliest I could get to this case is 3 years. Well, I didn't want to wait 3 years. It wasn't like there was some there was no evidence. I mean, everybody agreed.
Right.
There was absolutely no physical evidence to connect Ryan to the crime scene.
Right.
And so we just said, we just need to get to court to prove this.
Yeah.
Any attorney ought to be able to do that, you would think.
Yeah.
Of course.
And with the videos and everything. Clearly not knowing anything about the crime, where it happened, when it happened, how, nothing.
Right. Everybody, we're all sitting together in the pre-screening and just, it was probably the loudest screening I've ever been in because we were just like audibly, ugh, are you kidding me? Like yelling at the screen. We just felt I think a little bit about that. But we've been talking about it nonstop and with the release of the film is very timely in the sense of the popularity of the Jinx and Serial, which everybody's into, and so this is like perfect timing as far as like helping other people.
Coincidental, yeah, it is. It's wild.
It's very, it's great on track.
Yeah.
Do you keep in touch with anybody that you were in prison with?
I do.
Do you?
I do, yeah. You know, I didn't think I would at first, and for, you know, by at least the first 5 years, there was nobody that I would have kept in contact with. But then you find your place in prison where you're going to survive.
Of course.
And I found guys who were, they were trying to grow, they're trying to move forward, and they knew that they were going to have an opportunity to come back out into life one day. They took full responsibility for the crimes they committed, and I respected that. And they had been there for 15, 20 years, and they're doing good things. And we would play basketball together. I learned guitar with these guys. We passed books along. I remember we had like a Harry Potter club once.
Fantastic.
I had a 1984 club.
That's
great. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, we're doing these things together. We're growing together. So, anyways, some of them were cellies. Some of them were just guys that that I had a connection with through, you know, sports or music. And I keep in contact with about six of them.
That's really cool.
And for me, it's very difficult even coming back out into society after 10 years. And I have a lot of amazing support, obviously, and a lot of opportunities.
Yeah.
And if it's this difficult for me, I know it's going to be even more difficult for them.
Exactly.
And so knowing that I can be there for them when they have the opportunity to get alive again, I think that that means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So.
And to them, I'm sure.
Well, yeah. No, I know they appreciate it. So just the fact that I answer their calls.
Yeah.
I don't really think about it, but when one of them's like, dude, it's just literally me. Nothing's meant more than me because a lot of guys get out and they're, you know, they don't really have anything going on for them or anything, and they say they're gonna be in contact with you or whatever, and they're not.
Right.
And like, here you are, you don't owe us anything. You're not from where we're from, and this is specifically what this guy is saying to me. He's like, man, you've always been humble. You've always kicked it with us. Like, you're just one of the guys, and then you got out and you did what you said. You're there for us and you support us. So that meant a lot to me, obviously.
That's awesome.
But they deserve it, you know. I think those are good guys, and there's not many.
Right.
But there are a few.
That's really cool. What was the most shocking thing for you coming out? Like, what was, like, the biggest, like, was it technology? Like, what was the biggest, like, what the hell moment for you?
It's hard to put a finger on it because I worked really hard in prison. Everything like I said to the doc. So I read nonstop.
Right.
I tried to understand, you know, the culture, what's going on out here,
what
my place would be. And then getting out and then finding that a lot of my work, it didn't add up to much. You know, and it's very, I can't acclimate to this world. There's no way you can, it just got to happen naturally.
Of course.
And I think that's the biggest thing. For me, it's just finding that I'm struggling more than I would have suspected. So maybe it's the main answer. But other than that, I think nothing really just threw me too much, you know, with technology.
Jumped in.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike, you know.
Right.
Back in it. So it's just like you can function really well. I got the phone immediately.
Thanks.
But yeah, it's all those small things like taxes
now. Right, you're like, oh, that grown-up stuff.
I forgot. I always heard about these things. Yeah,
but like, I never had to do it myself.
Now I'm 30, everybody's like, oh yeah, I'm doing this and that. I'm like, so I'm gonna hire a guy to
exactly.
So it's just, I don't know. And unfortunately, I call him all the time. I'm like, what the hell am I doing in life? Like, I don't know what to do right now. This is normal for most people, but not me.
But I will assure you, listen, people our age, we still don't know. Those who have not been in prison, we still don't know what the hell we're doing.
Exactly.
So you're doing great.
Well, thank you. For that.
I think you're doing great.
I feel like. I mean, that's the thing I know about myself is I work very hard, and I don't give myself excuses.
Yeah.
Reality is reality, and a lot of people have better situations. A lot of people have worse situations.
Sure.
I'm gonna deal with it.
Yeah.
And so I feel good with myself.
That's you should.
Yeah.
It says a lot about your parents. I mean, that's instilled in you. You learn. You know, that's learned.
Yeah.
And that's nurtured. So, are you stealing me? Okay, cool. I have one more question. Maybe a little personal. Are you dating since you came out?
I am. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's exciting.
I have an amazing girlfriend, and she's been there for
actually
years,
nice.
Even while I was incarcerated. And, she is instrumental in many, many things. The whole social networking.
Absolutely.
She helped that grow from 5,000 to over 70,000 in a year.
That's amazing.
She's just been there for my family, supported me, and I think that's why there are no huge, crazy things when I got, because she's always there, and I'm like, how do I turn on my phone?
right. You've got somebody.
What is a Twitter? Yeah.
So exactly. We're all still figuring that one.
Right. I don't know if there's an answer to that.
You're not the only one.
No, but she's been incredible, and my transition into society, into the world, mm-hmm. without her would be a lot more difficult. Maybe.
What advice would you give any other parent that would be even approached with anything similar to this?
Get the discovery.
Yeah.
Because you have a right to it. They don't want to give it to you, but you have a constitutional right for the discovery. Get the discovery and go through and analyze it. Make a timeline and a flow chart. Put all that information into it and read every syllable. Read it and understand it. Look at the terminology, understand the terminology. Look at similar cases and see what happened.
Yeah.
Look at that whole process and then you'll start to solve the case.
Don't just believe in their innocence, know it.
Yeah. Right. And you really want to do that before you even select an attorney. Because you know, you don't even need an attorney to start out with.
Sure.
Because if you're accused of murder, first of all, the court will not let you plead guilty. They will not let you do that. So you don't need an attorney to say, don't plead guilty, because guess what, they're not going to let you plead guilty anyway.
Right.
So there's no hurry. And that kind of blew their mind, because I wasn't in a big hurry to get an attorney, because I knew nothing was going to happen anyway. I know a little bit about the legal system.
Right.
And so we looked around and we thought we got a pretty good attorney. I didn't get one until like 3 or 4 weeks, into the process. Mm-hmm. But there was no need to have one. But so if you could do all the things I just suggested, now you know the case, and now you can talk to attorneys about the case.
Right.
Not let them just say, all right, give us the money and don't do anything, don't talk about it. We'll take care of it. Don't do anything.
Yeah.
No, you want to be proactive.
Be personally informed.
Yeah, and you say, what we did with our attorney eventually is I created this little system. I say, on Thursday afternoon, I want you to send me an email of what you have done and what you're going to do every Thursday. I want it by 5 o'clock.
That's awesome.
And the first attorney says, well, I just don't do that. And I said, thank you very much. We'll find somebody else that can do it.
Good.
And so... So we found somebody, and he did it, and it made a big difference. But then in the end, we found out he wasn't any good anyway. But at least we knew where he was going. We knew what he had done and what he was going to do.
Yeah.
And that was a lot better than just giving him the money and then hoping for the best. So that's what I would tell people.
That's awesome advice. You guys are so great. Thank you so much for talking
to me.
I'm very excited to talk about the movie, and best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate
absolutely
that so much.
Best of luck. Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much.
You're
luck
the best.
One,
you're so welcome.
Inspiration meets opportunity, right?
That's right.
Great.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hopefully
thank
we'll you talk again in
I
some other arena. I would love it. I would love to follow up with you guys eventually.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Good.
All right. Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks. You too. They're like genuinely incredible human beings.